The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It is the Pat Kenny Show. It's Pat in for Anton. And some people will be familiar with this because they saw highlights. Some will have stayed up all night. But in case you're in neither camp, here's a flavour of what happened last night.
Donald Trump was fired by 81 million people. So let's be clear about that. And clearly he is having a very difficult time processing that. But we cannot afford to have a president of the United States who attempts, as he did in the past, to upend the will of the voters in a free and fair election. And I'm going to tell you that I have traveled the world as vice president of the United States, and world leaders are laughing at Donald Trump because you did, in fact, lose that election. It leads one to believe that perhaps we do not have in the candidate to my right the temperament or the ability to not be confused about fact. That's deeply troubling, and the American people deserve better.
Viktor Orban, one of the most respected men, they call him a strong man. He's a tough person, smart, prime minister of Hungary. They said, why is the whole world blowing up? 3 years ago it wasn't. Why is it blowing up? He said, because you need Trump back as president. Look, Viktor Orban said it. He said the most respected, most feared person is Donald Trump. We had no problems when Trump was president. But when this weak, pathetic man that you saw at a debate just a few months ago, that if he weren't in that debate, he'd be running instead of her. She got no votes. He got 14 million votes. What you did, you talk about a threat to democracy. He got 14 million votes and they threw him out of office. And you know what? I'll give you a little secret. He hates her. He can't stand her.
So that was Republican nominee Donald Trump, and before that, Democratic nominee Kamala Harris at last night's U.S. presidential debate. I'm joined for analysis by Lorcan Nyhan, head of training with the Communications Clinic and columnist with the Sunday Independent, and in studio, Ian O'Doherty, Irish Independent journalist. Gents, let me get both of your overall view on what you witnessed last night, starting with you, Ian.
It wasn't a slam dunk for either. It certainly wasn't the knockout that people are saying Kamala won. But her team will definitely have been happier than Trump's, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think he'll probably take some comfort from the fact that you don't win an election in a debate, but you might lose one, as we saw with Biden a couple of months ago. I was surprised at Trump, I'll be honest with you. And I was also surprised at Harris. I thought that's her most polished performance that we've seen by far, because every time we've seen her in a public situation, she's just basically failed. She's not a serious person, despite the fact she's somebody who fails upwards. That's been the history of her career. And I have to say, with Trump, he doesn't look the same guy that he was 8 years ago. And there's something, now I was timing it last night, it took him 41 minutes before he mentioned the shooting, the attempted assassination. There was a very interesting piece in Politico, in a profile a couple of weeks ago, about how since the shooting, he stays up and he watches replays of the event, and he's refusing to go to therapy and stuff like that. Now, anybody who's just been shot at, you really should be going to counselling. And, you know, so there's all these strange little things. He didn't really look like he was on his game. She walked into a load of obvious, she actually lied quite a few times. But then on the issues where he was much stronger, and was expected to be much stronger, which was basically foreign policy and immigration, the southern border and stuff like that. He started going on about in Ohio, the town in Springfield in Ohio. Now, there have been rumours that there's 28,000 or 20,000 Asian workers. And now, for months...
Well, hang on for a minute. Let's pause petty and come to that in a while, because it's so egregious. Before we get to that, you asserted that Kamala Harris had lied on a number of occasions. About what?
Charlottesville. For example, she said that she's travelled the world talking to military leaders. She was only boasting a few weeks ago, when she hadn't gone down to the southern border, that she's never been to Europe. And she just basically, I have a whole list of things here. Also, the most interesting thing is that she admitted last night that China was behind the lab leak. Which they were insisting that anybody who said that was a conspiracy theorist, which they got the social media companies to block down anybody who said that. Okay. And yet when she was having a go at Trump, she said that basically Xi and China were responsible for the leak.
Lorcan, your take on last night?
Kamala Harris did the job that she needed to do. There was a whole host of people who'd be looking on, be it live or be it the clips later, who would have been wondering, does this person know what they're doing? Are they competent? Are they intelligent? Are they as impressive as we've been told that she is? And because she massively exceeded her expectations, that job is absolutely done. That competence question is answered, and that was a danger for her. It was probably the best debate performance that we've seen against Trump. She baited him incredibly well. She threw him off his game. He took every bit of bait that she put down. Chris Christie, the former Republican governor of New Jersey, was given analysis afterwards, and he said, you know, he followed her down every single rabbit hole he wanted her to go down. She was offensive and good on her own issues. I do think that she probably lacked a small bit of agility, where because Trump was so off his game, there were times when she had the capacity to maybe box him into a corner a bit more, reveal a few more contradictions in his position. So I think she was brilliant on her prepared remarks, incredibly well prepared for it, and therefore competence questions answered. But that little bit lack of agility meant that, yeah, that knockout blow perhaps wasn't there. But what matters is the narrative that comes out of it, and what matters there is the one or two highlights, and the highlights will be bad for Trump, not bad for Harris. So, you know, she had a good night.
And some of this got very personal and very contentious. Kamala Harris's racial identity obviously being one of the topics that was discussed, because Trump has on a number of occasions said that she has, quotes, turned black. In other words, that she has leaned into her black heritage more since she started to run for election. And that was something that she debunked.
I don't care what she is. I don't care. You make a big deal out of something. I couldn't care less. Whatever she wants to be is okay with me.
But those were your words, so I'm
asking. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, all I can say is I read where she was not black, that she put out, and I'll say that. And then I read that she was black, and that's okay. Either one was okay with me. That's up to her.
Now, throughout all of that, Ian O'Doherty, she was making expressions that made it evident that she regarded this as risible and beneath contempt. Does any of that kind of stuff actually matter? Is there a floating vote available to either of them at this stage?
It's a very small one, but it's the one that will decide in the five swing states. That's the thing. Nobody who before yesterday had decided who they were going to vote for will have changed their mind. There was no catastrophe. Like, I mean, the thing is, for example, with the last debate with Biden, there were a lot of people who would have said, well, I'm definitely voting for Biden. After they saw Biden's performance, they went, well, I don't feel comfortable voting for Biden. So there was no moment like that. As regards the black thing, she actually brought that up herself, where by constantly leaning into her Indian heritage when she was going to Indian donors and things like that. So she opened that door, she rang that bell, whatever way you want to put it. Trump didn't play it as well as he could have. And again, even like when you're talking about the lies and stuff like that, I mean, she came out, one of the things that really surprised me is that there's been a split between Trump and the evangelical movement who had supported him over the whole pro-life stuff, because they don't think he's pro-life enough, right? And one of the things he'd actually said was that he's very much in favour of IVF, which over here seems like such an incredibly niche issue, but in America, it's a big deal. So the evangelicals are really annoyed with him because he wants IVF to be almost available for anybody who wants it. And she came out last night and she said that he wants to ban it. Now, the interesting thing is that they fact-checked, the moderators fact-checked Trump, which is basically a way of scolding him, right? They did it on Ohio, they did it on various different things. They didn't fact-check Harris once. And that's one of the things where he came out of it and he said that basically it wasn't him against Harris. It was 1-on-3. It was him against the two debaters. To get back very briefly to Ohio, to Springfield, and this is where I think it's a sign that he wasn't on his game. He has Harris over a barrel. He has the Biden administration over a barrel on immigration. And instead he started focusing in on these things about sort of Haitians eating cats and dogs and ducks. That comes from a town hall meeting in Springfield 3 or 4 weeks ago with some locals saying that there were ducks being taken from a pond by Haitians, which apparently by all accounts might be true, right? And then it escalated to J.D. Vance saying they're taking our cats. And then by the time it got to last night, it was Trump saying they're taking our dogs and they're barbecuing our dogs in the street. And I was sitting there at about, that was about 4 o'clock this morning. And I was sitting there going, what am I watching? This is insane. It's like, you have it. You have this argument. You've won the argument when it comes to immigration. Stop going on about barbecued dogs.
Now, lest you're listening to this and you think Ian O'Doherty is exaggerating the point somewhat, here is what Donald Trump actually had to say about the consumption of domestic pets.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country. And it's a shame.
Now, can I put it to you, though, Ian, that much as we might scoff, we had a statistic recently that showed that 15% of America believed that there was a paedophile ring being run out of a pizza joint in Washington by the Democratic chair, I think, Dan Podesta, which was a QAnon rumor. If that's believable by that many people, does this actually matter? Will people who know Donald Trump say, well, that's hyperbole, but he's pointing at the immigrant crisis, which annoys us, and there'll be enough people who say it's probably true that he wins either way?
No, I think you're falling into the all-Americans are dopes trope there, Anton, to be honest with you. I never bought into the idea that 15% believed in Pizzagate, or, you know, Mystic Pizza, whatever it was called. The QAnon thing is a ridiculous fringe that gets a huge amount of attention simply because people like us are fascinated by it.
It does show up at his rallies, though, and you know, people do wear Q t-shirts, yeah, and he does reference it.
Yeah, I mean, look at the people who turn up at the Democratic rallies. I mean, up until the war in Gaza, they had more nutcases supporting them, but now even the Democrat nutcases have turned against them. And it's one of the interesting things was, from our perspective, looking on, right, not just as people who happen to be really interested in American politics, because it is the biggest show in town. And like, if I wasn't on today, I would have been up watching it anyway, because it's just, it's get the popcorn, it's fascinating. They were so weak, both of them, were so weak on foreign policy, and Trump came out stronger. It's like, and again, one of the things he was saying was that we're closer potentially to World War III than we have been probably since the Cuban Missile Crisis. And then Kamala was coming out with it because she's caught. The Democrats are stuck in a really, really awkward position because the Republicans have always been seen as being pro-Israel, so they don't lose anything by being pro-Israel. Whereas the Democrats, they have a large rump of their party who are very, very, not just pro-Palestinian, but are very anti-Israel. So Harris is stuck in a really, really difficult position. And she started coming out last night talking about, oh, look, we're just looking for a two-state solution, which is a pity because Hamas don't want a two-state solution. And Trump didn't really... He wasn't capable last night of hammering that home. Instead, he was just going that basically if Kamala gets into power, that Israel will be gone in 2 years' time. Now, that's something that a lot of people in Israel are worried about. We're now talking about an existential threat to Israel. But he didn't hammer the points home.
OK, can I expand, Lorcan, on some of the communications approaches of both of them? One of the things that I was intrigued about in the way that Kamala Harris approached this was it was the first time that I had seen... negative attributes that the Democrats have criticized in Donald Trump be linked to things that mattered to people. So rather than just attacking him for having had a silver spoon in his mouth, he was attacked for having a silver spoon and the fact that that would make him unable to care or deliver housing for those who don't have silver spoons. His delusions were attacked as his incapacity to interpret facts that would weaken him as a president making judgment calls. That seemed to be a shift in technique from what we've seen from the Democrats so far.
Yeah, and an impressive shift in technique, particularly the latter point that it wasn't just criticizing his character. It wasn't just criticizing the fact that he, you know, only talks about himself. It was linking to it. This is going to make him a worse president. So like they have got more clever. And like if you go back to that undecided voter piece, there are about 3 to 4%. If you go into 3 to 4% who are undecided. They tend to be younger, they tend to be black, they tend to be Hispanic, and they tend to kind of like Trump's policies on the economy, but not be mad on Trump. They kind of just want him to stop speaking and to focus on what he's going to do. So the more you can therefore link Trump's character to what he is going to do, the more therefore you can bait him to start talking about cats and dogs and immigration in the wrong way, the more you're going to slightly win that 3% of voter. And those voters do not watch the full debate. What those voters watch is the clips from it or what they hear from friends and family about it. So you're looking at, well, what's risen from the 90 minutes? What is going to be dominating the airwaves for the next 24 hours in America? And it's not going to be things that are making Donald Trump look good. So I think that communication capacity was there to link it to his role as president. She's also much better. Look, Joe Biden's last debate performance, he didn't really bring any communication techniques to the table, but she was much better at painting pictures, particularly around the abortion issue. She linked it to visual imagery. You know, she linked it very specifically to a woman having a miscarriage, being in the car park outside the hospital. She linked it very specifically to a 14-year-old victim of sexual assault. That helps that issue cut through, not maybe necessarily in those voters who are undecided between Trump and Harris, but those voters who are undecided between Harris and not voting at all. And that's a really important group, that group that says, if I'm going to vote, I will vote for Kamala Harris, but I'm not sure, because she loses on the economy, but she wins on abortion. And I thought Trump last night, be it on foreign policy or be it on the economy, really failed to stick her on issues that she is weak on.
The other thing, of course, that is different now than when Trump originally burst onto the scene is that he now has a track record rather than being the non-political outsider maverick that he was back in 2016. And one of the critical things in that record is January 6th and his role or lack of it, depending on your view. Here's how that broke out last night.
I had nothing to do with that other than they asked me to make a speech. I showed up for a speech. I said, I think it's going to be big. I went to Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of Washington, D.C., and the mayor put it back in writing, as you know. I said, you know, this is going to be a very big rally or whatever you want to call it. And again, it wasn't done by me. It was done by others. I said, I'd like to give you 10,000 National Guard or soldiers. They rejected me. Nancy Pelosi rejected me. It was just 2 weeks ago, her daughter has a tape of her saying she is fully responsible for what happened. They want to get rid of that tape. It would have never happened if Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of Washington did their jobs. I wasn't responsible for security. Nancy Pelosi was responsible. She didn't do her job.
The question was about you as president, not about former Speaker Pelosi. But I do want Vice President Harris to respond here.
I was at the Capitol on January 6th. I was the vice president-elect. I was also an acting senator. I was there. And on that day, the president of the United States incited a violent mob to attack our nation's capital, to desecrate our nation's capital. On that day, 140 law enforcement officers were injured, and some died. And understand, the former president has been indicted and impeached for exactly that reason.
Ian O'Doherty, that, of course, a critical issue for a lot of Democrats and an issue that a lot of Republicans clearly are able to get past.
This is his kryptonite. January 6th is the big blot on Trump's record. And it is true that he called for the guard to come in. It is true that Pelosi has admitted that they didn't act swiftly enough. None of that matters. Trump is inextricably linked with January the 6th. Now, the thing is, even again, Harris dissembling, there are no cop died on the day. There were a couple of very unfortunate suicides afterwards. But what we saw, and we saw this live. Now, it was a riot more than an insurrection. It wasn't a coup at the time, as people were saying and stuff like that. But you can't get away from the fact that Trump had to be told by his own people, including by all accounts Melania, call the dogs off, shut them down. And he was kind of initially reluctant. Now, the interesting question about this, though, is how much will people care about that? That was 4 years ago. You know, the cycle moves very quickly. Whereas I think one of the things that Trump really has going for him is that there's a sort of there's a certain nostalgia, which, again, Irish people who tend to be reflexively anti-Trump won't necessarily get. But amongst the heartland in America, there's a certain nostalgia for when gas was as cheapest, when wages were increasing faster than prices, where taxes were down. I met Americans. I had American family who came over during Trump's administration because they were getting tax refunds and stuff like that. That's the thing that matters. As James Carville, I mean, the last sensible Democrat, as he famously said to Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. And that's what Trump has. January 6th is really bad for him. Last night was not a good night for him. He underpolls anyway. He will hope to forget about this. But I do think, if I can just say very quickly, the biggest piece of bad news for Trump last night, and I know this sounds daft and I'm not being flippant, was actually Kamala Harris. It was Taylor Swift coming out and endorsing Kamala Harris. That's going to swing a lot of people.
That'll be interesting to watch, describing herself, of course, as a childless cat lady in reference to J.D. Vance's previous comments. Ian O'Doherty, journalist with the Irish Independent, Lorcan Nyan, head of training at the Communication Clinic, and columnist with the Sunday Independent. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.